speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Let me begin by saying I have really been teased a lot in regard to the title of our sermon this morning, Can a Preacher Wear Lipstick? Beginning last week when it made the bulletin, different ones asked me, said, are you asking for permission to wear lipstick? And I am not. This morning, whenever I first came in, some of the ladies stopped me in the back and they said, look at us. And I looked at them and I said, what? And they said, we just want to see if you're wearing lipstick today. I can only recall two times that this guy, this preacher's had lipstick on. And I'm going to tell you, but I don't want heckled about this afterward. One time was whenever I was much younger. In fact, both instances, I was much younger. One was a friend of mine. A friend of mine and I decided that we were going to dress up in a prank way during Halloween, and we dressed up as girls, and we put lipstick on. I'm grateful that no one, to my knowledge, has a picture of that. Another time was during a truth and dare, sitting with a group of my friends, and they came my turn, and they said, Kevin, truth or dare? And rather than have to admit probably to some girl I liked, I took the dare, and the dare was, is put on lipstick. And I'm grateful that we didn't have cell phones then to where somebody would have taken a picture and put it on Facebook. Lipstick is not for men to wear. Guys can wear pink, but not lipstick. Amen? As we begin, I want us to understand is that the lesson is not about men, preachers, wearing lipstick, but rather, is there authorization in Scripture for female preachers? As I was studying for the lesson, I came across a cute little joke that I will share. One individual told that he had visited a denomination where that there was a female preacher and he'd never heard a female preacher before. And as they were going out, the lady was standing in the back shaking hands. And he shook her hand and he says, ma'am, I want you to know that I've never heard a female preacher before from the pulpit. He says, I've heard my wife preach a lot of times, but never a female preaching from the pulpit. Does God allow women to be preachers? We need to turn to the Bible and to see what we find, as well as to explore what it is that we see in our society. As we explore the New Testament Scripture, friends, we understand is that the pulpits have always been served by men from the inception of the church. In fact, if you go to the context of the book of Acts chapter 2, the day that the Lord's church began, you will read in the context that it was the apostles, men who were responsible for the proclamation of God's message at that time. Also, as we go forward then in the New Testament Scripture, we find men, Peter, we find also the apostle Paul and Timothy and Titus and other male members of the body of Christ, who were proclaiming God's Word. Never do we find any example, nor are we able to infer that at any time was women allowed to proclaim God's Word during the time of worship service. Where did it come from? Friends, I contend, as I have studied not only the Bible, but as I have also considered this subject matter concerning female preachers, where did it come from? I believe that it began from denominational churches. They have opened up the door for women to preach. I remember sitting in Pennsylvania with an individual who was a member of the Methodist Church, and they were allowing a woman to come in and to preach for the first time in this particular congregation of the Methodist faith. And as a result of that, it opened up an opportunity for me to sit and to discuss God's Word with this female who said, you know, they are allowing this lady to come and to preach in our church. And she said, how do you feel about it? And I said, well, it's not necessarily how I feel about it or about how you feel about it that really matters, but how does God feel about it? And friends, she went on to say that her congregation later on, she went on to tell me that her congregation allowed a female to come in and to preach. I also know that the brethren in Christ in the Northeast allow for female preachers to come in and to proclaim God's message or a version of what they contend to be God's message, as well as Roman Catholicism is now opening the door to women being allowed to come in and to preach. And I wish that I could stand before you today and to say that it is contained, that it is only found in the denominational world, in denominational churches. But sadly, many of our liberal brethren are also going in this direction. In fact, Fourth Avenue Church of Christ in Franklin, Tennessee, recently hired Lauren King to be their preaching intern. Lauren is a female who is a graduate of David Lipscomb. And friends, they opened that door to her because they said that she had talent as well as an aspiration to proclaim God's Word. Yet at the same time, many of our brethren have challenged them on this in stating that we do not doubt that she has talent or that she has an aspiration to teach, but where is it authorized in Scripture? Why would our faithful brethren say, where do you find it in Scripture? Because as God's people, we must comply with what it is that God says and not go anywhere else. There are multiple arguments that are posed in regard to individuals who want to allow women to preach from the pulpit. From time to time, they will contend is that there is a lack of interest amongst male members, and therefore, they are left with no other choice but to allow women to preach. I remember whenever I was growing up, as a small boy, I remember one of my grandparents explaining a similar situation where in a small congregation, they could not get the male members to preach, or for that matter, to do any of the service. And then they saw that it was acceptable for them as women to stand in and to take that leading role. Friends, I tell you today that it was not acceptable for those ladies to do that. Men should have stood up and combated those individuals who wanted to take that role, and men should have stepped up to the plate and filled those roles. Why do we find is that there is a lack of interest among some men? I believe that it's due to laziness. Sometimes men do not want to study, to put the time in, to prepare ourselves, to stand before the congregation and to preach. And sometimes it's because of laziness in the fact that they do not want to get involved. And these will not be justified excuses whenever we stand before our God. Also, there is an argument that is presented amongst many that say that we need to allow women to use their God-given talents. And I will admit that there are a lot of ladies who have so many amazing talents as well as a vast knowledge whenever it comes to our God's Word. But their talents as well as their knowledge in Scripture does not trump our God. There is a time and a place where that a woman can use her talents as well as her knowledge in teaching classes, as well as teaching during ladies' days or during ladies' retreats. In no way do we find any acceptance or authorization, for that matter, in Scripture where that if a lady has knowledge or talent, that they should be allowed to come and to preach from the pulpit during the time of a regular worship service. But also another argument contends is that it is a change in cultural context that no longer applies to us. The argument basically deals with literary context versus cultural context. And you say, Kevin, exactly what does that mean? Those who are liberal and want to allow women to preach, women to stand and to fill the role as a preacher, they say that the instructions given by our God in Scripture by way of inspiration, they are descriptive rather than being prescriptive. You say, well, what does that mean? What they are saying is that during the time frame, from a cultural standpoint, it was a description of what we find to be in the church, but it was not a prescription that was to be applied to the church from one generation throughout the next. Friends, what we read in the Scripture, it is descriptive, but it is also prescriptive. It is a commandment that is given by God, and therefore we need to accept what it is that God says in regard to men filling the role of being preachers in and amongst the body of Christ. Others contend, from an argumentative standpoint, and to say that a better order has been given concerning the priesthood. We understand from the Old Testament Scriptures that in order for one to serve from the priesthood, they had to be from the tribe of Levi. And of course, whenever Jesus Christ our Lord died, that priesthood was taken away in a very ultimate way. And Jesus Christ has become our high priest. And incidentally, He is from the tribe of Judah. And He will never serve as a high priest here in this world. Why? Because it would violate the Levitical priesthood, and therefore He would sin in doing so. And for that reason, then, we can conclude that Christ is not coming back to this earth to place foot upon this earth, but rather we will meet Him in the air. That's a whole other lesson within itself. But in the change of the priesthood, we also understand is that now, New Testament Christians, men and women alike, we are all considered priests of God. And with that being indeed true to what the Scripture says, some say is that that is an authorization then for women to stand and to preach. Friends, that is in no way an authorization for women to stand and to preach. In fact, in the context of where it is stated in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and following, it is in our approaching God privately and individually. And how do we approach God privately or individually? Friends, we do that through prayer. And each and every one of us need to go to God in prayer as a priest, and Christ then as our high priest, our mediator, mediating between us and God. That's what's under consideration, our going to God in prayer. And as Christians, men and women individually can go to God in boldness because of what it is that we represent. Their arguments as to what they say support and actually what they say authorizes them to allow women to preach in the pulpit are not valid according to what we find in the Scripture. Why do we find the development of women preaching? I believe in part it is due to a dissatisfaction with what God commands. We find in regard to the Scripture is that some people are never satisfied and that they are always wanting to make changes. And the Apostle Paul identified in the context of his second epistle to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and verse 4, he says that a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will have itching ears, and they will heap to themselves teachers, false teachers is what's under consideration, who will change the doctrine of Christ. And in the first century, they perverted that with Judaism as well as with Gnosticism. And today, friends, they continue to do that with denominationalism. And that's why we find people wanting to accept as well as to allow women to stand in the pulpit is because they are not satisfied with the divine commandments. But also we understand is that amongst many there is this desire for equal opportunities in worship. I want to begin this point by saying that I believe that in some ways women's equal rights movement was a positive thing. It helps us as a society to be able to say that women do have equal rights whenever it comes to voting as well as whenever it comes to their say. Yet at the same time, they have hindered us in so many ways. How so? We understand is that the women's rights movement has allowed many to say that they, as a woman, has total control of her body. And that's why we're seeing this push continually for abortion, is that the woman has the right, it's her freedom, it's her constitutional right to abort that child. Also, we understand is that with some women, they want to wear the pants in the family. They want to have the say at home. And yet, the Bible tells us is that God appoints man to be the head of the house. But in like figure, some want to rule the nation and to take it with an iron fist according to whatever direction they want. And friends, today we find is that some are wanting to take control of the pulpit to lead congregations in a direction that is unauthorized by our God. These individuals are dead set on altering the Scripture to meet their own needs. God's Word does not change. And the souls who are involved in this, friends, they are involved in twisting the Scripture to meet their own needs. And Peter identifies for us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and following, is that they twist the Scripture to their own destruction. We need to understand that what God does not authorize, and where God even, in fact, from time to time remains silent, does not give us the right to go in and to change things or to step up and to say that surely He will be okay with these things. And what's also interesting is that those who are advocating that women preachers are okay, even in and amongst our liberal brethren, whenever we oppose them, they denounce us because we refuse to embrace them. And they say that we are being unfair. They say that we are being too legalistic. And friends, if legalism, as they see it, means that we are being scriptural, then sure, you go ahead and call me legalistic. I'm not legalistic to the point to where I think that we need to dot all of our I's and cross every T's to the point of my thoughts, but rather, whenever it comes to God's Word, by all means, we must keep it intact exactly as He has given. According to what we find in the Scripture, we need to understand exactly what the Bible is and what it represents. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant, complete Word of God. Theos neustos, according to what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it is God-breathed. Literally meaning that God has spoken His Word through men who has communicated His final testament on behalf of those who are dwelling here in this world today. But also, it is the true standard upon which we must build. We cannot build based upon Kevin's opinions, nor upon your opinions, or upon the opinions of anyone else. But rather, when we look in regard to our standard of life, we need to go to the Scripture and to understand what God says and then to apply those teachings to our everyday walk of life. Also, whenever it comes to our worship, to our coming together in the assembly, we need to study the Scripture and not only to see what God says, but to apply these standards to our worship service all the way from what we do, also then inclusive of who would lead us in our worship service. But also the Scripture is never to be tampered with by mankind. We understand is that God has given us His final revelation, Jude and verse 3. And that we need to learn, and I find that interesting in the Greek language, we need to learn to not go beyond those things that were written. Man has a tendency, as well as a desire, as we've pointed out, to go beyond, or sometimes even not to go as far. But to go beyond what God says, and we need to learn, is that it's not our place to do that. And that we can only go as far as what God authorizes. And if we tamper with the Scripture, friends, we will stand before God being condemned for trying to change His Word during the time in which we were here. But also, the Scripture must be accepted and applied by each generation. I look back to the history concerning the church, as well as the history concerning religion. And I think that where we were years ago in comparison to where we are today is so liberal-minded. Where we were years ago, people were very conservative, even in denominations. But then there was this progression that led to digression on a continual basis within denominationalism. And sadly, they say that the Lord's church is only 10 to 15 years behind the rest of the religious world. And I think that that's what we're seeing amongst our liberal brethren, is that they're trying to catch up now. In all of this, it has only gotten worse with each generation. My generation, for instance, I'm 48 years of age. And I was raised that where the Bible speaks, we speak. And where the Bible's silent, we're silent. And friends, while I try to practice that myself, and I have others who are my age, in and around my age, who also practice that, there are others who are my age, even some that I went through preaching school with, who do not practice, here's what the Lord says, and here's what my opinion is. They get up in the pulpit and they preach things that is contrary to the truth. And friends, God's Word needs to be accepted and then to applied by every generation. Some people say that God said it. I believe that settles it. And you've heard me say before, whether we believe it or not, if God said it, that settles it. And every generation needs to be brought up to that very end that says that if God says something, then we evidently was serious about it, and therefore we need to take to understand it and then to apply it in order for us to be acceptable to Him. What does God say from a restrictive standpoint concerning women? Women are charged to be silent in the worship assembly. Now, friends, that does not mean complete silence. Why do I say that? Because God also commands women to sing. All of us as a congregation, we are commanded to sing, and we are to sing as a congregation. You say, Kevin, what do you mean by that? There's no authorization for soloists or choirs or praise teams. We are to sing together collectively as the body of Christ, men and women alike. And I am so grateful that God allows the women to break their silence in singing. Why? Men, you sing well, but ladies, you sing better. We're all, as it blends together, sounds so beautiful. And it goes up as a sweet-smelling aroma before our God. But outside of our song service, the women are commanded by our God. This is not a Kevin saying, but rather it is a commandment of God, is that women are to remain silent during the worship service unless they are singing. But also, we understand is that God says that the woman is not to usurp power or authority over the men, the male members of the congregation. If she were standing, if a female is standing and preaching from the pulpit, friends, she is in that place of usurping authority. Not only whenever it comes to preaching, if she's doing any leadership role in the church, from serving on the table or offering prayers, or let's take it off into another realm, if she's serving in the eldership or serves as a deacon, she then would be in a leadership role, hence usurping the authority over other male members or over male members. And then that would place her in violation of what God authorizes, also what God restricts her of in Scripture. Women are only allowed to participate in the worship service and again in the singing service, and they need to understand that this is a God-given role that God has given not only whenever it comes to the worship service, but God also then identifies as that she has a role in the home and that the male is given that lead or that charge. Women are expected to submit to these rules. All of us must submit to the rules of God. Amen? But whenever it comes to who is authorized to stand in the pulpit and preach, women should not fight for their rights because they don't have that right from a biblical standpoint, but rather to say, this is what God has chosen and therefore I will submit to what it is that God requires. We have been studying on Tuesday evenings with a lady over at Sister Blankenship's home, and we have been studying the last few weeks concerning women's role, and we brought out in regard to what God says concerning women in life as well as women in worship. And as we concluded that service, this Bible study, this lady, she says, well, I don't know what the big fuss is all about. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she says, well, I think that it's great that God has given the men the role. She says, I'm willing to step back and to allow that to happen simply because there's something that's good about that. And I think it's even kind of a Southern thing, isn't it? Is that the guys treat the ladies to that Southern hospitality? Well, in regard to the way in which God looks at things, He says that women need to submit to the rule that He has laid down, the authorization. God appoints male members to be leaders in the church. And friends, that's true whenever it comes to the eldership. It's true whenever it comes to those who serve as deacons, as well as those who would stand in the pulpit and preach. God commands men to lead in worship. Every avenue of worship, we must have men who serve to this end. And men, what a challenge that is to us. We must never allow it to be said here at East End is that the women are taking the role because the men will not do that. Men, if we ever allow ourselves to get to that point, shame on us. We need to be men who aspire these roles. We need to be men who work to qualify so that we can serve as elders and deacons and preachers and servants within the body of Christ during and also beyond our worship service. And God calls faithful men to serve as preachers. We have examples of this in the New Testament Scripture where Timothy and Titus and Paul and others were called by God to proclaim His Word. Never is there a calling in Scripture. Never is there any picture given in the Scripture, the New Testament, where that God would permit or authorize a female to stand and to be a preacher of His Word in and amongst the worship assembly. And God condemns those who would violate His ways. Friends, that's true not only whenever it comes to this, but that's true whenever it comes to everything in regard to what God commands. Why has God said that men, only men, can stand in the pulpit and preach? To begin with, God says that a reason is because man was created before the woman. And you know what? I sat with somebody who was of this feminist movement years ago, and she listened intently to what I had to say until we got to this point. She says, "Well, why?" And I said, "Well, God says that it was man who was created before woman." And she says, "That's a weak argument." Friends, that's what God said. It's not my argument. God says that man was created first, and for that reason, at least in part, that is why he is to be head of the house as well as to be a leader in the body of Christ. But then in like figure, because the woman was deceived and fell into transgression. Of course, the man also fell into transgression, but God presents that it was the woman who was deceived first, and therefore she fell. And it doesn't matter what Adam did, but it's what she did then that prompted or pushed Adam to that leadership role or position. So there's two statements given there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and verse 14. But also, this morning I contend is that a reason that God says that men only are to be preachers is because of the order that we find in regard to His eternal plan. God's plan of redemption and plan for mankind and subsequently also the church was in place in eternity from beginning to end. And therefore, whenever God identifies that men are to serve as preachers in the church, we need to accept that as a part of His eternal plan. What is a reason in regard to why only men are authorized to preach, that they should only serve as preachers? Friend, it's because it's the way in which God chose concerning this matter. And if it meant that much to God, then it needs to also mean that much to us, that we will only stand and do what God authorizes. And then what do we do with individuals who do not comply with those commandments of God? We need to identify them, and then to mark and to avoid them, and then to focus fully upon pleasing God and glorifying Him with our lives. While today's lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, it certainly has done a lot. It has a lot to do with about us being Christians. Yet we also want to extend the Lord's invitation to you. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, we want you to know that God loves you. God has a work for you in the kingdom, whether you're a male or female. And we will work with you, and we will work on your behalf even to help you find your place in the congregation to work to the glory of God. But if you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, we want to extend His invitation to you to confess Christ and to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you are a member of the church, but you're an erring member, we want you to know that we love you, and we will pray with you and for you, that our God will restore you back into faithfulness. If you're subject to the Lord's call, please come as